Welcome to the Spirit of the Delaware Valley, a special presentation of Holy Spirit Radio. And now, here's your host, Dave Parker.
Hello, this is Dave Parker with Holy Spirit Radio, bringing to you another edition of the Spirit of the Delaware Valley. And joining me in studio is Father Matthew Guckin of Our Lady of Mount Carmel Parish in Doylestown, PA, and Mr. Ed Klank is with us. He's from Man Up Philly, who will be talking a little bit later on and or throughout, you know, the interview about Man Up Philly and other things. But Father Matt, welcome.
Dave, thanks so much. And Ed, great to be with you for Man Up Philly. You're welcome. Okay. That's great.
So as I always do, I ask my guests if they're clergy or even if they're not clergy, to start us off with St. Augustine's prayer to the Holy Spirit. So, Father, if you will lead us in prayer.
Sure, it's an honor. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work, too, may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Great.
Well, welcome, Father, and
thanks,
welcome,
Dave. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Father, you asked if you can come on and talk about all the events that are coming up at Our Lady of Mount Carmel. But first of all, in reading the bulletin for this weekend, I wanted to kind of ask you a question that you say in this beautiful piece at the beginning. It says, no one's asked me this question. Well, Dale and I both had this, but separately, and I told Dale, and you like spontaneity, you tell me. So let me read what Father had penned and written for the bulletin, this coming weekend's bulletin, right? Shocking as it seems, no one has ever asked me if I play for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
Not one parishioner has yet to ask me if I was ever given so much as a tryout.
Yeah.
As I try to move beyond my hurt and self-delusion, I ask myself this question, why? Well, I'll ask Father, why did you write that?
What's up with that?
I want you to talk about the whole thing.
Because I am hurt, and I am offended, and I am hurt that no one has ever confused me for a professional football player. No one's ever asked me, hey, how come you aren't in Arizona with your teammates for the big game? But anyway, you know, I mean, as I wrote there in the bulletin, Dave, like, I have an Eagles jersey.
Yes.
Now, when I wear it, it, you know, my belly makes me look like a bit of a Buddha, right?
Well, so, I read that, but I wasn't going to say it.
But we know the game is this Sunday. I know this is being recorded, but it's later on today. And I do enjoy sports. I think it's when it's put in its right context, you know, that when it's, that is to say, when it gives us a little break from reality. I despise sports when they try to make it reality. So, but like both of you, you know, Ed, you have the Eagles jersey on. I'm looking forward to enjoying the game. I'll be at a party with other priests at Our Lady of the Sacred Heart in Hilltown.
Beautiful.
And we'll have a great time, for sure.
But can you kind of flesh that out, but bring it to its conclusion as you did? But it's, you know, the Eagles are fine. And football is fine. But that's not our end state. Our end state is Jesus.
Amen. Yeah.
Can you elaborate a little bit?
I have an interesting little, I'm not a psychiatrist, but I play one in the pulpit. An interesting little take on that. Like when the Eagles won the Super Bowl in 2018, I was working for the Archdiocese in the Office of Catechetics, but I was living at St. Patrick's downtown in Rittenhouse Square. And when they won, I remember all the people like running through the square, going to City Hall. So I'm 57, so I was 52 or 53 at the time. Mm-hmm. And I remember I put my Eagles stuff on and joined them. And I ran to City Hall with it. And it was just like straight up debauchery. People, and then people start rioting, and this is what I developed in my little thought. I'd like to hear a psychologist or psychiatrist take on this. I think people, when they think it's, they confuse it with reality, mm-hmm. you know, sports. And again, I first of all, I don't think they can enjoy it for mm-hmm. what it's meant to, how it's meant to be enjoyed. But when it doesn't bring that fulfillment they think it's going to bring,
mm-hmm.
they just turn to vices. They turn to violence. And mm-hmm. because they've convinced themselves that this is going to bring them the fullness of joy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't. Mm-hmm. And so they smash windows at Macy's or they get drunk or...
They're angry.
Exactly. They're angry.
They're
yeah.
angry.
So that's... Yes. And again, I don't want to sound like a killjoy. I am looking forward to the game. I'm looking forward to getting together with friends. And,
yeah.
But I think I have it in its right context.
I think you do too. And that's why I opened with that. And thank you, our faithful listeners, for the wonderful opening. And I knew that would
Thanks.
Be good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you
Father.
Caught me off guard there, yeah,
well,
which
you
is good.
You like spontaneity.
I do. I say that, but I'm not sure it's always true. I'm
okay.
a planner at
well,
heart.
Well, so
sort of blow your intro right there. Okay.
Well, anyways, well, Father, you come bearing an itinerary of events at.
Indeed.
At the church, mm-hmm. at your wonderful parish.
Mm, thank you. And you know what? It is wonderful.
Yes.
I just had a funeral this morning, and I was coming back with some people from the burial, and Frank and Pat Johnston. And I said, God bless you. I said, that's official. I said, man, am I lucky to be in Doylestown. I think it took me a little while to sort of get my foothold, some firm standing there, but I feel like it is now. Doylestown's an awesome place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and the people are phenomenal. So I'm very blessed to be there. But, you know, so we keep trying to feed the people as best we can. And it's as hard as it is to believe, Dave and Ed, Ash Wednesday is a week and a half away.
Oh, I know.
You know? Oh, you know, so there's, and you know, we've started planning Lent last October.
Mm-hmm.
You have to, mm-hmm. you know, to do. So it's not a Lenten exercise, but in the fall, it's hard to get on this guy's calendar. We have Father Larry Richards coming.
And, beautiful.
You know,
wow.
for,
oh,
a, for we haven't Father had a parish Larry. Mission. You know, Father Larry?
Yes.
Yeah. He's coming for a parish mission in the fall. But in order, like, you can't call him in September and say, hey, Father, what are you doing next week? Like
yes.
you can't do it. And but I think good planning necessitates that you're always doing that. So we've planned, you know, events.
Mm-hmm. So when is he coming?
He's coming. I believe he is coming October 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th.
Wow.
You know,
okay.
This every man who's listening to this, you know, mm-hmm. Larry Richards has a great message for men.
Yes, he does.
You know, and especially fathers.
Yes.
You know, so if you're there, give a little nod to my brother to my right here. Man up
mm-hmm.
and come to the mission.
Yes.
You know, but that's not until October. But between now and then, Jiminy Crickets, we have so many things, you know.
Well, we can promote that. I mean, with a public service announcement.
That'd be great.
A month,
right.
2 months out, whatever.
Absolutely.
We can
yeah.
work
we
with us.
Yeah. I want it to be Christmas in
mm-hmm.
October,
mm-hmm.
right? Standing yes. over. But we do have a lot of things. You know, most parishes have Stations of the Cross every mm-hmm. Friday in Lent, as do we. We have it at 5:30 every Friday in Lent.
Mm-hmm.
We're moving our 8:30 Mass to noon to make the Eucharist accessible to a different group of people
mm-hmm.
and also to make it make Lent special. Right,
mm-hmm.
and so we have like the daily Mass will be at noon.
You did that in Advent, and
we're sort of mixing it up there a little bit just to give people more access.
Yeah,
to,
well, I was one of them because I go to St. Francis Gabrini in Fearless Hills,
yeah.
Lower Bucks.
Sure.
And but with some stuff at the station, I would say, well, I can't make that 9:30. So
exactly.
Dale said, oh, come at noon.
Yeah, so it's that
yeah,
you know,
and it's very wonderful.
And Doylestown's the county seat. You
yes.
know, and so there's a lot of people, it's like a destination place,
mm-hmm.
certainly for restaurants on the weekends, but for workers mm-hmm. coming into to town here. So,
yes.
you know, and there's the same. So we have, you know, we have Stations of the Cross, we have a noon Mass. We're also running a trip to the Sight and Sound Theater which is in Lancaster. And, you know, very much looking forward to that. I forget when the date is.
Well, I have it here. The date is...
Oh, there it is, March 23rd.
Yeah, Thursday, March 23rd.
Okay, so March
3rd. What is the production file?
Yeah, it's on Moses.
Moses,
that yeah,
should be great.
So, yeah, I've never been to the Sight and Sound Theater, but I was stationed at Bishop Shanahan High School in Downingtown for 12 years. And in Chester County, which is so much closer to Lancaster, I heard about it all the time. Mm-hmm. And so I hear the shows are like Broadway quality. So
they are. Yeah. I hear that too. I haven't been there either. I don't
you
know
coming
Ed's
with
been
us?
There.
You going to come with us?
I was thinking about it. Yes,
yeah.
That
yeah.
Thursday. Yes,
yeah.
It's
so that's coming up. We have a series on Satan that I'm going to be doing. Actually, when I worked in the office for the Office of Catechetics, one of the things that we used to kick around down there with Bishop Fitzgerald and Ann Mena, my former boss, who is just a phenomenal person, is, you know, is the devil real or not? And if he's real, what's he like? You know, and so I did like a deep dive in terms of research on the devil. And I wanted to do it for no other reason, for my own edification and formation, Christian formation, because it seems to me that when it comes to the devil, there's two extremes. There is on the one extreme, what I like to call the Flip Wilson mentality. The devil made me do it. Like, and therefore, I abdicate myself of all responsibility as the devil. Okay, so that's on the one extreme, and that the devil is lurking everywhere. On the other extreme, it's there is no devil, right? It's just a boogeyman made up from the deep, dark recesses of our mind. Well, if he's a boogeyman, you know, if it's made up, then as Flannery O'Connor once said about the faith and the Eucharist, then the hell with all of it, you know,
exactly.
the Southern Belle. But then if he's everywhere, do I even have a chance? Is this just predestination? Like, okay, well, the devil's going to make me do this. So when I was working downtown in the Office of Catechetics, I put together a three-part series on the devil, where it is a deep dive. They're half-hour programs, and so we'll be showing them at the parish. I think it's, let's see, when would that be? Starting on, when is it? I don't even know when we're doing it here, but I know.
Well, we can get that
okay,
and
blah,
put
blah,
it
blah.
Out.
Yeah. But anyway, we're doing a series on the devil, right? There it is. Thursday, March 2nd, Thursday, March 9th, Thursday, March 16th. So three successive Thursdays. And we will show the half hour videos, and then I will lead a discussion on it. But do a deep dive, like on the prayer of St. Michael, for example, like the origins of that and the reality of that and the reality of the devil, you know, and we look at the rite of exorcism as well a little bit. So yeah.
I have a question. So you did a deep dive. What if succinctly, what did you reference? Who did you reference? Philosophers?
Yeah. Okay. Some philosophers,
the church fathers?
Church fathers, exorcists. I don't know if you know who Father Keith Chelinski is. Father's the rector of the seminary and is a licensed counselor as well. So I remember talking to Father Chelinski about it. I talked to a friend of mine, Father Anthony DiGlielmo, who engaged in the seminar over in Rome. He studied in Rome canon law on exorcism. So I spoke with him. We talked about Monsignor Cifo. Reached out to Monsignor, is a friend of mine, reached out to Monsignor and talked about that. And then, just as you mentioned, the church fathers, the ritual of exorcism. You know,
yes.
Father Chelinski was the one who turned me on to that. I remember him telling me, you know, I think that the tendency when it comes to the devil is to focus on the devil. Whereas when you look at the ritual of exorcism, there's very little emphasis on the devil. It's all on the power of Christ. You know, what Christ can do. So so to acknowledge that. But also, I would say, probably more than anything else, Scripture.
Yes.
You know, the temptations of Christ. And then what the fathers, church fathers, reflected on that. So it's real.
So what are those dates again? And it's about half hour per...
Well, it's about a half hour video, about 25-minute video, and then a half hour of discussion which I will lead. So it's March 2nd, March 9th, and March 16th.
Okay. Well, thank you, Father.
So it's called, we're calling it Satan, the enemy of our souls, because at the end of the day, what the devil wants to do is he wants to destroy us, right?
And, absolutely.
And there's all sorts of subtle, insidious ways that he goes about doing that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, he does.
Yeah. So hope I see you for that.
Especially pride.
Yeah.
Many of those things that, you know, we think we're doing something for the right reasons, but it's the devil leading us to think that and fooling us, tricking us.
But. Yeah. I just had a meeting, so I was running a little bit late today with someone, and I was telling her, don't believe the lies. Mm-hmm. Like the devil is the father of lies.
Yes.
But those lies are so insidious. I try to correct people when people really beat themselves up, particularly in the sacrament of confession. Mm-hmm. I usually stop them and say, please watch your self-talk. Mm-hmm. Like this is not coming from the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. If there's, you know, I'm no good or anything like that.
Exactly.
Can I tell you a story from, I did a 30-day retreat back in 2012, the summer of 2012, I did the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola. It was in a town called Sedalia, Colorado, right? And it was a Jesuit retreat house. And early on in that retreat, my director was a Jesuit by the name of Father Ed Kinnerk. He asked me to do a self-assessment. So you're 30 days in silence. So I did a self-assessment, and then the next day, or maybe 2 days later, went to him and said, okay, this about myself. And, and I'll never forget his response. He said, and I have this all digitized too. It took the next summer to digitize it all. 253 pages, by the way,
wow.
Digitized.
Yeah.
So, small font. So he said to me, so I listed all the things as I understood myself. I'll never forget his words. He goes, your assessment of yourself is really screwed up. Like, in other words, I was just buying lie after lie after lie about myself. I'm not God's gift to humanity. Far from it. But God has put me here for a reason, and God has given me gifts. But all I was focusing on were my character flaws. So it was sort of a pivotal time in my life.
And a huge eye-opener.
For me. And I think it's made me a better person.
Well,
thank you. I'm not great, but I think I'm better than what I was.
Well, we're always there. You mentioned spiritual exercises.
Yeah.
And we're called to do that daily, you know, and to look at our own lives.
Yeah.
So that's awesome, Father.
Yeah.
We all need growth.
Yeah.
I definitely need growth.
And it has to be an honest assessment, right?
Yes.
I mean, it needs to be, it needs to be honest. I always say, you know, if we had a confession of virtues, that would be an interesting endeavor. Like if we actually had an eighth sacrament, go confess what you're good at. I think, I think that would be a very important spiritual exercise.
Absolutely. Now, on your itinerary or your litany of things to talk about, one of the prominent things that we were talking before, in the bullpen, as it were,
The green room.
The green room.
We're talking about the Super Bowl here, right?
That's true. Right. That's true. Although I'm in blue.
Right. Yeah.
I do have the swag. Believe me.
Yeah.
Okay. But you're talking about the four marks. What are the four marks?
Okay. All right. It has nothing to do with Groucho, Harpo, Zeppo, right?
Yeah, okay.
Carl.
Especially not Carl.
it's definitely not.
Yes.
Right?
Thank you.
So when I look at our like, I try to look at, I'm an armchair philosopher, right? I look at our state of our church. And by church, I don't mean bishops. I don't mean pope. I don't mean priests. I don't mean nuns. I mean the church, the people of God, all of us. I think there's three ways where we get off the track. Anthropology, Christology, ecclesiology. Okay? So anthropology, in Greek, anthropos, which means the man, the human person. Like, so there's a lot of confusion, right?
I mean,
I think only a Bible-free world teaches us that men can give birth. That's something wrong with the way we're looking at a human person. Mm-hmm. No, I'm sorry. God made me a man.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Exactly.
And God made my sisters women.
Yes.
You know? So
it's very, very straight up, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, there you go. So anthropology, and that's just one illustration.
Yeah, exactly.
Then there's Christology.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is my buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, Jesus is my buddy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but Jesus is also my savior.
Exactly.
And we forget about that, right? Well, and then you just take the next step, which is, what's he saving me from? He's saving me from my sin, which destroys me. Mm-hmm. Right? So he's my savior. That's who he is. Not a man among men. He's mm-hmm. God among men.
Yes.
And women. So I think our Christology, who Christ is, I think we forget that, right? Mm-hmm. But then ecclesiology, ecclesia in Greek is church. Yeah, the assembly unto the Lord.
Yeah.
I think we forget like what the church is. So at Mount Carmel, for
mm-hmm.
example,
mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, you want to be blown away. Come to Mount Carmel about 3 weeks before Christmas, mm-hmm. because the sanctuary is full of presents for the needy. Right?
Wow.
And we have, and for women who have chosen life, like we've partnered with Legacy of Life, mm-hmm. Marie Joseph's group,
mm-hmm.
Like for that, and for underprivileged children.
Yeah. She's a great friend of the station.
Yeah, she's a great lady. I would say, but if you just look at that, like, mm-hmm. oh, isn't that great? Look at the work Mount Carmel's doing. It is great work,
mm-hmm.
but we're not just a social service organization. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
That does not define the church, right? So the ecclesiology.
Yes.
So, well, what is the church? Mm-hmm. Well, we say it every week at Sunday in the Nicene Creed, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. Mm-hmm. Those are what are called the four marks of the church,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
As defined by the Council of Nicaea in the latter part of the 4th century. I think I understand things, Dave, by distinction.
Mm-hmm.
In this sense, like, well, what does that even mean? Well, when we look at evangelical Christianity, right? They are our brothers and sisters,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
But so many of them have three marks. They're not explicit. Ours are explicit. We say it every week. They're, mm-hmm. just to help us understand what do I mean by one holy Catholic and apostolic. Their three marks tend to be, it's implicit, but they tend to be sola scriptura, that mm-hmm. is to say the Bible alone,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
A rigorous morality. Mm-hmm. So if you were to go to like an evangelical church, there's a lot of, okay, let's take the word and this is how that's applied,
yes.
right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. But then there's also what I would call a virulent anti-Catholicism,
mm-hmm.
right? They're protesting. It's something, it's the Protestant way. Well, they're yes. not protesting the Kansas City Chiefs or mm-hmm. the Republican Party or Democratic Party. They're protesting us. Okay.
Yes,
so,
yes.
so you'll hear that in their preaching.
I've heard that.
You'll
yes.
hear, well, the Bible says it, that settles it,
mm-hmm.
right? That's a typical
exactly.
mantra,
yes.
right? And then you'll hear a very rigorous morality,
mm-hmm.
right? And then you'll hear what, you know, we can be guilty of in the Catholic Church as well. But then there's they define themselves by us,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
That's what they do. We're not that.
Yes.
Right? Well, we are this. So what's it mean to be one holy Catholic apostolic? Well, we're going to unpack that the first 4 weeks of Lent.
Mm-hmm.
So at the 9 and the 10:30 Masses. So the way that's going to work is for the 9 o'clock Mass, I'll celebrate the Mass.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Then I'll give a homily, which will last about 1 minute. I think I can hear the applause out there already, right?
Is it deafening?
But then I'm having a speaker speak yes. about what it means to be mm-hmm. one. So the homily will be, and the gospel for the first weekend of Lent are the temptations of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The speaker is a man named Andrew Stimm. Andrew was raised as a Byzantine Catholic, Byzantine,
mm-hmm.
married a Baptist woman, Priscilla, who became Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I thought that's perfect for oneness. Now, okay, yeah, it's a different expression. Right? The mm-hmm. Byzantine faith, liturgically, ritualistically. But it's one. His wife is now one with us. Why? Right? We need to be one in diversity.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a married man?
Yes.
Okay. To raise kids?
Yes.
Okay. So you and your wife, very different.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to be one in yep. raising the kids.
Absolutely.
Right? Okay. Well, we need to be one. Why do we need to be one? Because if that devil was brazen enough to tempt Jesus Christ, you and I are child's play to him.
Absolutely.
So we need to stay together. Mm-hmm. The second week in Lent is holy. That's the second mark. And mm-hmm. so Andrew's only going to speak 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. I'll speak to it, quick homily, mm-hmm. right? The second week is holy. So a lot of people would say, well, the church isn't holy, right? Look at the sex abuse crisis. Look mm-hmm. at the bishops who covered it up. Mm-hmm. You know, look at this, look at that, right? Okay. But our founder is holy. Mm-hmm. What we do, aka the sacraments, mm-hmm. our prayers, that's holy. Mm-hmm. Where we're headed, hopefully, is holy. Right?
Absolutely.
We're called to be holy. So I was thinking, okay, who do I know that's holy? Well, I don't know many people, mm-hmm. right, that are holy, that mm-hmm. I'm really holy, mm-hmm. which is why I'm here. Will you do it? I'm just kidding. So I asked, you know who I think?
You got to be kidding, Father.
You know who I think is really holy? A holy God? I don't know if you know him. Yeah. Father Dave O'Brien.
I've heard of him. I don't know him.
He teaches at Lansdale Catholic, mm-hmm. and he lives at Mount Carmel.
That's right.
I taught him in high school. And he became a priest anyway. He's a wonderful man. So he's going to talk about what it means to be holy. What is the gospel for that weekend?
Yes.
The transfiguration of Christ.
Oh, beautiful.
When the holiness of Christ mm-hmm. shines forth, right? Mm-hmm. It's so good. Peter mm-hmm. says it's good for us to be here. The third week is Catholic. Mm-hmm. All right? That's the third mark. We're having, again, I'll have the Mass. I'll say a couple of words about what's it mean to be Catholic. Mm-hmm. Catholic in Greek, Katholikos, means universal. It's meant for everyone. There's a young gal in our area. Her name's Casey Brown. She is the president of Young Catholic Professionals, right?
Okay.
She's going to say, you know, like this gospel, guess what? It's meant for white folks. It's meant for black folks. Mm-hmm. It's meant for old folks. It's meant for young folks. Mm-hmm. It's meant for rich folks. It's meant for, you know, for people like me, right?
All folks.
So it's meant for everybody.
Yes.
It's universal. Mm-hmm. So she's going to, and the gospel that mm-hmm. weekend, again, perfect. It's a layup. The gospel is the Samaritan woman at the well.
Oh, wow.
So Jesus goes out of his way to Samaria. It's meant for her, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The woman with five husbands.
Yes.
The Samaritan.
At high noon.
At high noon. This is, again, 9 and 10:30. Yeah. Finally, the fourth week of mm-hmm. of Lent is apostolic. It's the fourth mark. Right? And apostolic means to be sent. Mm-hmm. So the gospel that week, and I'll get to who it's going to be, the gospel that week happens to be Jesus healing the blind man at the pool of Siloam, which means sent. That's what the word Siloam means. I have a friend, a dear friend of mine for many years, is a local attorney named Chuck Ormsby. You know Chuck?
Yeah, okay.
Chuck is an attorney. He's a partner in a law firm in Bucks County, but he started a nonprofit, I'm going to guess like around 2005, called Building a Bridge to Uganda. Mm-hmm. And I've been on mission trips with mm-hmm. Chuck in Uganda, in the jungles. Chuck is going to talk about, okay, we're called to be apostolic, so I founded this nonprofit. Mm. I've been sent there, and I'll tell you that the work that they've done over there, mm-hmm. unbelievable, build a school. Built wells, mm-hmm. built churches. I mean, they've done so many. They built a high school, Pope John Paul II High School in Abanda, mm-hmm. Uganda. So we're doing that. Is it going to be the cure-all? No.
But
it's doing something.
It's beautiful,
right?
Father.
Thank you. Oh, and one last thing. The fifth week, the raising of Lazarus is mm-hmm. the gospel. Mm-hmm. We're going to do a healing mass. We're going to have a homily, but anyone who is sick and in need of anointing, mm-hmm. we're going to do it in place of the homily, me and Father O'Brien.
Wow.
I'm excited. Yeah.
I have to tell my wife, Barbara, that I'll be up here for many, many Sundays.
Hey, we have an extra room.
Okay.
If you're interested.
Okay. I'll talk to you after the show.
Okay. Oh, one thing. You got to take me out for pizza pie.
Where do you like?
You know what? I like that Brooklyn pizza over at Bacco's. That's probably my favorite.
I've heard of that.
I've heard Jules is really good, but I haven't been there yet because they have thin crust. But I like the Brooklyn pizza.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Well, okay.
Just saying.
I made a note. Okay, well, Father.
Well, you made a note, but you didn't like literally make a note. Like, I want to see you write that in your calendar.
Okay, well, after. So, Father, I mean, well, thank you for that, laying out what's going to happen with the four marks and five.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that.
Anything else that you want to share with our faithful listeners?
Yeah, we have this guy, if I haven't shared it yet, on March 11th. His name is Frank Runyon. He used to be on, I'm not a soap opera guy. I'm proud to say that. But he used to be on As the World Turns. He was an actor. And he was an actor turned evangelist. He's Catholic. And so he does these one-man acts around the country. And it's on March 11th at 7 o'clock. And the one-man act is he's going to act out the Beatitudes of Christ and contrast them with the values of Hollywood. Because he knows it. He was in the belly of the beast.
Absolutely.
He knows it. So he's going to be there on March 11th at 7 o'clock. So it's kind of exciting, you know?
You have so much coming up.
It's good stuff.
In your parish.
It's good stuff, Dave.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to give a shout-out, I mean, for us. You're listening on WISP 1570 AM in Doylestown in Philadelphia and WCOJ 1420 in Coatesville in Chester County. So I want to thank everybody for listening. And, Father, anything else you'd want to say going into the close in a couple minutes?
Yeah, thanks, Dave. You know, Haiti is the poorest country on earth, right? And just really struggling with a lot of strife in Port-au-Prince and really throughout the country of Haiti. And so we have an old mission nestled within the parish, which has laid dormant since COVID. And we're resurrecting that. And so what we're going to do is the Haiti mission is going to begin again in earnest on the first, on Ash Wednesday. And we're going to have bowls at every door. The people, you know, the three traditional acts of prayer, fasting, almsgiving, that is taking care of the poor. So people can give that. And it goes directly, we wire that money directly to a parish in Port-au-Prince.
Beautiful.
So. Yeah.
Well, they're still reeling from when was the last earthquake? Several years ago.
I mean, never truly rebuilt.
Yep. They're a small country that's always struggling.
And you know, they are struggling. I mean, just your heart goes out to them.
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, because they have so much corruption in the government. You know, and I know people say, well, our politicians are corrupt too, and you know, I happen to know some people in politics, and they're really good people, good Christians who are trying their best. Yeah. I don't think that's the case in Haiti, but
okay. Yeah. But we shall all pray for them.
Amen to that.
And keep you in prayer and Our Lady of Mount Carmel. And Father, anything else? And if after we go to the close, before we go to the close, will you close us with a prayer?
Sure. Just, I got good news and bad news. The good news is Our Lady of Mount Carmel Parish is awesome. And the bad news is I can't say it twice.
Okay.
So other than that, no,
thank
I mean to
much.
You. Thank you. Yeah, let me give you my blessing, okay?
Okay.
Let's just bow our heads and ask for God to bless you through me and my priesthood. Almighty God, Father and Lord of all, pour forth your blessing upon all who are listening to this, especially those who are downtrodden and ready to give up on life. Let them know your love for them and your plan for them. And may Almighty God bless all of you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Our Lady of Mount Carmel,
pray for us.
Go Eagles.
All right. Well, thank you, Father Matt Guckin.
Thanks, Dave. Good to be with you, Ed.
Okay.
And good luck with Man Up. That's another thing. That's not a parish function, but it's a great function. Can I say one thing about Man Up?
Absolutely.
Okay. It's interesting. You know, I was in Eustace's parish when he was really gaining some momentum, and I used to think that's an awfully like in your face title. But I've done an about face on that. Like, I just think guys do need to man up. You know, they need to like reassert their role, not a toxic masculinity, but you know, like my father and the men on our block growing up in Northeast Philadelphia, they were men, and that's sort of been lost. And I think part of that is because of the culture has stripped men of their masculinity.
Yes.
And but I do think I wish you well, you know, with Ed. It's a great endeavor, and and praise God for it. I know we have a lot of men in our parish who are part.
I know, in much the same way, in the same idea. Sometimes when I give talks about Man Up, I refer to a letter that my dad wrote to my mother as he was on a ship going to the South Pacific in World War II, talking about he didn't want to be parted from her, but he had to do what he had to do. He had to do his duty, and that he would do everything he could to come back.
Wow.
And I know my mom prayed in front of the Holy Family icon at the mosaic in the front of St. Columba's on Lehigh Street.
Oh, yeah.
While he was gone, she would pray all the time for his safe return. But that's the idea of man up. It's not, we might say in the sports world image or the modern image. But rather, let's accept our responsibility
Amen.
As providers and caretakers of our families
yeah.
and our communities. And that's how we man up.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Truly
I agree.
Become the
yeah.
men we seek to be.
And it's not asking women to surrender their femininity
no.
at all. It's just, we have a role in society. I have a role in my parish. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good luck.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome. Ed.
Thank you, Father, and thank you, Ed.
Thanks,
and
Dave.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'll stay tuned, I will be coming back with Ed Klank in the near future, right after this break. So thank you for listening to another edition of The Spirit of the Delaware Valley. God bless. Welcome back. This is Dave Parker with The Spirit of the Delaware Valley. And before the break, I had mentioned that Mr. Ed Klank would be staying over to talk about Man Up Philly and some other very interesting topics that he wants to bring to you, our faithful and loyal Holy Spirit Radio family of listeners. So, Ed, welcome back.
Thank you for having me, Dave. It's a pleasure to be back here at WISP Radio. And wanted to take a second to once again talk about Man Up Philly, which is the Catholic Men's Conference that's held every year in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
This will be the 15th Man Up Philly.
Wow. 15 years already?
It's going by.
Yes. All right. Awesome.
Very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It all started out as an idea with Eustace Mita and the men's group down in Chester County. They shared the idea with Bishop McGinnis and decided that it was a necessary thing to have the men of the Archdiocese meet and have an opportunity for spiritual reflection and for confession and adoration.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are 15 years later, going back to the location where we started, which is Cardinal O'Hara High School
mm-hmm.
in Springfield. And there we hope to have upwards to 2,000 men present.
2,000.
To celebrate a day of reflection, mm-hmm. encouragement, brotherhood amongst men, and to help with the goal that the men will leave with a desire to be better men, better parents, better fathers, better brothers,
mm-hmm.
and take an active role in their church and community. So
mm-hmm.
it's a tall order, but we've seen so many success stories over the years. That
mm-hmm. I was just going to say that. All the Man Up Phillies that you've had, have always had wonderful guests. And I'm sure, as a planner of that, when you come together with the team, Eustace Mita and the rest of the team, how do you come up with ideas? Do you do a brainstorming session, or you might hear somebody on Catholic radio or someone in society that you think, oh my gosh, I got to bring this up to the group. They might be a fantastic guest. How does it work?
That's a good question, and I wish I had the answer for you. But there is brainstorming. There is sharing that takes place. Each year, we start all over again. It's not like we can count on the success of the past. We have to every year work at bringing a quality program, a mm-hmm. quality conference to the men of the Archdiocese,
mm-hmm.
something that's worthwhile, beneficial, and spiritually fulfilling. So we do. We usually, right after the Man Up is over, we meet that month
mm-hmm.
and start saying, well, what do we want to do for next year? And usually we throw out some ideas about what we want it to be about,
mm-hmm.
and also ideas of who would best be suited to speak to the men.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, thanks for that, Ed.
Mm-hmm. And if I could just follow up on that, one of the things that what happened in the last couple of years. You may be familiar with the Pew Foundation came out with a survey, and it had this incredible statistic that like only 35% to 40% of Catholics were said to actually believe in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist.
I had heard that, yes.
And it had, I think, sent ripples through the church, especially amongst the bishops, deciding that something needs to be done. And
it is shocking.
You wouldn't think it, but I guess it can happen.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But, what the bishops have done is inaugurated a three-year program of, once again, trying to reemphasize the importance of the Eucharist, the meaning of the Eucharist, and the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, because it's a fundamental Catholic doctrine. And to think that only 35% understand it to the point that they say they can profess that belief shows that there's a catechesis that needs to be done.
I was just going to say that. So the question or questions, one of them, like what happened? Catechism, the catechesis of, you know, young people, and as they mature, why do they believe that it's not the real presence? So, I mean, that's worth looking into, and that's the nug of the problem, basically.
We certainly have to do a better job at instructing, catechizing, letting people know what it is that we believe. We're not, we just don't believe it's bread and wine and that it doesn't matter, that it can be discarded after the fact. The church's tradition has always been, and it goes back historically to the Last Supper, when Christ said, "This is my body, this is my blood." He didn't say, "This is a symbol of my body, this is a symbol of my blood."
Correct, yes.
It's not a figurative sense. It's has been held from the time of the Gospels through the church fathers that this is the true body and blood, soul and divinity of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ed. Yes.
So that's what... given that the that context, it was suggested that that would be the emphasis of our conference this year.
Okay.
So what we did came up with, we banded around some ideas, but that basically said we're going to choose the road to Emmaus. If you remember in the gospel, on the road to Emmaus, Luke tells us that two disciples were walking and discussing all the things that were going on, and a third person joins them, who was Jesus. Mm-hmm. And he said, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. And he says, are you the only one in all of Jerusalem who doesn't know what has transpired? And so they go walking, and as they're walking, Jesus explains to them why the Messiah had to suffer and die, and why it is that all these events took place and how they fulfill all the prophecies of the Old Testament. I keep my wonders very often. I said, boy, I wish they had that on tape. Is that the most perfect Bible study that you could ever have?
Yes.
Is Jesus explaining to those two disciples what that meaning is.
And, wonderful.
And,
yes.
But he goes on and he says, the day is long. And they say, come eat with us. And in the spirit of hospitality, they invite Jesus into the house.
Mm-hmm.
And there, when he breaks the bread, they recognize him and disappears. Mm-hmm. But they're in wonder because they recognized him in the breaking of the bread. Mm-hmm. And so that's what our theme is, the road to Emmaus, recognizing Christ in the breaking of the bread.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Okay, well, thank you for sharing that, Ed. So that is, you gave the context, and that is the theme now. So who are some of the guests that are going to come on and take us down that road to Emmaus? I mean, if you kind of, you know, like you always have beautiful, wonderful guests.
We do, and it's difficult. Every year we keep thinking, how can we top last year's? Because they made such an impression. So we hope that this year's lineup of speakers will be just as fabulous as the past years.
Mm-hmm.
But our first speaker, we were able to have His Eminence Cardinal Timothy Dolan, the Archbishop of New York, come to speak with us.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember back when he was a bishop in Milwaukee,
mm-hmm.
and he okay. came out with wrote a book called To Whom Shall We Go? I don't know if you've ever
I've heard of that. It, but I have not read it.
I encourage everybody to pick mm-hmm. that up. Mm-hmm. I think the price went up once he became a cardinal, but I can't be sure of that. But if you remember the mm-hmm. gospel of St. John, it starts off, in the context is that Christ multiplies loaves and fishes
mm-hmm.
and feeds the thousands that had assembled to come to hear him speak. At the conclusion, he recognizes the fact that they want to come and make him king.
Mm-hmm.
They are accepting him as an earthly king, and not the Messiah that God intends to send. So he leaves, and he basically escapes and goes off. Nobody knows where he goes. The disciples, the apostles, get in a boat and start going across the Sea of Galilee. They have a storm hits. Jesus is mm-hmm. seen later in the late watches of the night walking on the sea, and tells them to have faith.
Mm-hmm.
And when they land, the people catch up to him. They find out where he went, because they figured he goes back home to his place in Capernaum, which was his home base and also the home of St. Peter.
Mm-hmm.
And there he explains to them, he says to them, "What did you come to see? What do you want?" And they have an argument. There's this back and forth. They say to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?"
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And it's much like that same question that the rich young man asked mm-hmm. of Christ. Jesus responds to them to have faith in the one God and the one who he has sent, which he's talking about himself.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, "Well, Moses gave us manna in the desert." And Christ corrects them. He says, "Moses didn't give you manna in the desert. God gave you manna in the desert." And he says, "What my Father gives is truly heavenly food." And so he goes off on that whole chapter 6 of the Gospel of John. It's known as the Discourse on the Bread of Life.
Mm-hmm.
And there he tells the people, "I am the bread of life, and you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. And if you don't do this, you will not have life within you."
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they'd say, this is hard for us to understand.
Yes.
And many of the disciples left them. And mm-hmm. it actually says, from this time on, many disciples broke away. So Jesus is there with his apostles, and he says, "And what about you? Will you leave me too?" And it's Peter who steps up,
mm-hmm.
and he says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life."
Yep. Very, very beautiful.
And I bring that up because that is the title of Cardinal Dolan's book, To Whom Shall We Go?
Yes.
And it's a book of reflections on different instances in the life of Peter and his relationship, his encounter with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very good book of reflection. So he's the man. He's the man who can really talk. The Eucharist, the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Well, Ed, let me stop you there
mm-hmm.
briefly. So what did it take to get Cardinal Timothy Dolan to come to Manna, Philly? I mean, again, he has a busy schedule.
He does.
Yeah, so did it take a while for him to work that in?
Well,
logistics inside Manna,
yeah.
Philly.
yeah. I wish I could tell you the answer to that, but fortunately...
we could say just totally Holy Spirit,
yeah.
right?
It's our chairman does know Cardinal Dolan very well. They have worked together on projects together.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and your chairman is?
Is Eustace Mita.
Okay.
And Eustace was able to call him up. I don't know if he begged, barred, or stole to get him there.
Invite.
But he's there. And
beautiful.
Which is wonderful.
I'm looking forward to that.
You know, to have Cardinal Dolan here in the Archdiocese mm-hmm. will be a wonderful occasion.
So who's next after the Cardinal?
After that, we have author and producer Jim Wahlberg. He's one of the Wahlberg family. He's the fifth oldest. Many people know Donnie from Blue Bloods and Mark Wahlberg, but we couldn't afford them. But we could have afforded Jim.
They didn't give you a break, or, or maybe next year. Yeah.
he had a tough life, and he was actually in prison. He did time. And while he was in time, he befriended a chaplain by the name of Father Jim Freitas, who helped turn him to turn his life around. But what really was influential was the visit to the prison by Mother Teresa. Teresa visited him and had such words of love, you know, that God loves you, even here in prison, and words of hope that... it was compelling to him, and it had an amazing effect on him. And he tells of that in the movie that just came out, sponsored by the Knights of Columbus, called Mother Teresa, No Greater Love. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've had a chance to see it.
I have not had a chance
to see it. Oh, please see it. I think it's available online, too.
Okay.
But the Knights of Columbus did this amazing documentary, but it's gripping. It goes through the life and struggles of Mother Teresa. Mm-hmm. And here she is. You know, we all know her from the streets of Calcutta and many of the other places that she's staffed around the world. But she went into the prisons and into the areas where the drug addicts lived in New York. Mm-hmm. And here the prison, in this prison, was Jim Wahlberg. So
okay,
he has quite a story to tell, and his conversion back, or reversion back to Catholicism, is gripping.
Well, thank you, Ed. I just want to tell our listeners, you're listening to WISP 1570 AM in Doylestown in Philadelphia, Holy Spirit Radio, and WCOJ 1420 in Coatesville and Chester County. Edward, we have a couple minutes left, so I just want to invite everybody out there, our listeners, men in particular, of all ages, to come to Men of Philly. Look, and Ed will give you all the details to do that, but Ed, who else is coming?
In addition, we have Deacon James Mahoney, who's the assistant director down at the Miraculous Metal Shrine, and he's also the permanent deacon at St. Athanasius Parish, a very old parish. Fantastic church there on Limekiln Pike in North Philly. And he also teaches homiletics at St. Charles Seminary.
So his name again is?
Is Deacon James Mahoney.
Okay.
He's a permanent deacon in the Archdiocese.
Okay.
A wonderful speaker, has a great story. And he will be talking about the importance of the Eucharist.
Okay, excellent.
Mark Houck, you know, who just has gone through all of its trials and tribulations, a pro-life hero, an intrepid hero for pro-life here in Philadelphia. He also will be joining us, and which we're glad to announce, even though it was a little bit later, so we didn't get him on all of our brochures, but he will be there.
And he will be, is he leading a particular part? Reconciliation?
Right before we have confessions, which are offered for anybody who wishes to go, and we have hundreds to go. Mark will talk about reconciliation, and he'll tell us to man up, to look at our sins, confess our sins, so that we can be freed from them and work, do the work of the Lord. So that should be a great segment.
Oh, absolutely.
When we have Mark Forrest, has been doing the Eucharistic adoration for the last 5 years, I guess.
And he is fantastic. And that adoration piece that he does is fantastic.
It's quiet, prayerful, reflective. And he sings. He's an internationally known tenor who has sung for Pope St. John Paul II, Mother Teresa, and presidents. He's has an amazing voice. And if it's lucky, maybe he'll sing Danny Boy for us, too.
Yeah, he might surprise us with a treat. Okay.
Our closing mass will be celebrated by Archbishop Nelson Perez, and that will conclude the day. So it's the day starts at 8:30. Registration starts at 7:30 earlier, a little bit earlier. And it should have everybody, it should be finished by 3:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah, and for some of you who may think that it has four speakers, it basically you've gone to like three main speakers, is that correct?
Three main speakers and Mark.
And Mark, yeah, as an add-on, but we had, Mark had to be added in for all the as the trials and tribulations he went through, but was vindicated and found innocent, praise God. And Ed, we have about two, 3 minutes.
Sure.
If you want to kind of bring it to a close, and if someone's interested, how do they sign up?
Well, the easiest way and most direct way is just to go to our website, manupphilly.com, and there's a link registration. Click on that, and the very first thing it will say is promo code. Mm-hmm. And for all you listening, because you've been patient listening to me today, I made a promo code called Holy Spirit.
Oh, nice.
Nice and easy to remember. And
that
provide you with $10 off the cost. Right now, the cost is $60 to attend. Mm-hmm. Basically, the cost just covers our expenses because we pay for lunch, we pay for speakers, we pay for venue and publicity. So we're not in this to make any money. We're there to offer to the men of Philadelphia, the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, an opportunity to get closer to God and to do so through adoration, confession, and inspirational talks and the Holy Eucharist.
Beautiful. Well, thank you, Ed. Well, again, we're getting short on time, but you wanted to mention something about Father Matt Guckin. You sat through that interview.
Oh, wasn't he wonderful?
Oh, he was wonderful. He is wonderful.
I did want to say that I was just in awe. Even if I wanted to say something, I didn't want to interrupt. He was doing such a marvelous job. Our Lady of Mount Carmel Parish in Doylestown is a wonderful parish. It's a huge parish, and they've always had incredible participation by their parishioners. They probably have one of the largest set of activities, you know, that are run by parishioners of any parish.
I've noticed.
You know, I think at one time, back when we were doing cluster planning back in the early turn of the millennium, I went into their directory, and I think I counted something like 70 different activities that the parish sponsored in one way or another. It's a marvelous parish, and I'm glad that they have Father Guckin at the helm, because just judging from the number of activities that he mentioned that he's having for Lent, it is a very active parish and very vibrant parish, and it's just wonderful to have that axe available to people in the Bucks County area.
Well, thank you, Ed, for that shout-out for Father Matthew Guckin and Our Lady of Mount Carmel in Doylestown. Ladies and gentlemen, we're coming to a close, and I want to thank Mr. Ed Klank of Man Up Philly, and maybe for a soon-to-be-aired Spirit of the Delaware Valley. Ed is also involved in A Baby's Breath and Prayers Unite the World, and I think recently he was on a visit to the Holy Land. So I want to bring him back where he can expand and expound on those things. And thank you, Ed, for coming in. And I thank Father Matt Guckin, who precedes this interview, my interview with Ed. And I hope everybody enjoys this Spirit of the Delaware Valley. And if you have any questions, call 215-345-1570. This is Dave Parker and Ed Klank signing off. God bless, and go Eagles.